This message is given by Dr. B.J. Stagner, pastor of New Testament Baptist Church, Goodlettsville, Tennessee.
All right. Now we're going to pick up where we left off last Sunday. And I want to give you some scriptures tonight. We're going to go over a few things tonight that I believe, I don't think it's going to be so much necessarily new tonight for many of you. It may be. But I want to solidify a few teachings tonight concerning angels and heavenly beings. Again, we're still in the middle of the introduction, if you will, and we're going to pick up on what's called the nature of angels. That's where we were last week, under the nature of angels. We're going to look at the anatomy and the ability of angels. Now, don't look into that title too heavily this evening. Don't sit there and think that we're going to get into some of the major controversial issues of what people think that angels are. We're going to get into that later on. I still want to lay a strong foundation and then leave about 10 minutes tonight for some questions and answers concerning what we're going over this evening or last week. So read from up top, if you will, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 6. And the Bible says, and again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Heavenly Father, we pray your mighty hand upon the teaching tonight. Pray that you'd open up the bowels of heaven, dear God. Give us a great, mighty, and wonderful blessing. Father, let us learn that which you'd have us to learn from the precious word of God. Father, let us not look into man's opinion, dear God, but let us tonight look as to what thus saith the Lord God in heaven. And all of God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord. Angels, we already went over last week that angels are created beings. They are not conceived. They are not begotten. They are created beings. We understand that angels are spirit beings, as in the verse that we just read, and the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits. Now, many of you may have the question, which angels am I talking about? We're talking about fallen angels. We're talking about non-fallen angels. Are we talking about the archangel Michael? There's only one archangel. Are we talking about Gabriel? I'm talking about pure angels right now. He says he maketh his angels spirit. I'm talking about all angels, fallen and unfallen, condemned and uncondemned, those that are locked in chains, every angel that God created. What I'm not talking about is every heavenly being. Now, I want you to understand that I'm not talking about every heavenly being. I'm referring to, in this statement here, angels and angels alone. You say, preacher, wait a second. I thought every heavenly being are angels, and that's incorrect. That is a teaching that has been taught by some very well-known Bible scholars or well-known preachers, well-known men of God. I don't dispute with them. I just allow the Word of God. The Word of God separates the two. He separates the powers and the dominions and the thrones, the cherubim, the seraphim, and the angels. It separates those, and we need to understand that here this evening. So remember, angels are created beings, fallen or unfallen. They have one creator that created them in the likeness of the Son of God. And we discussed that last week, what an angel would look like. Well, we believe that the image of the Son of God was established before day one, before creation, before the foundation of the world. If we believe that tonight, we know that the sons of God are created in the image of the Son of God as Adam was. So therefore, what does an angel look like? An angel is going to look in the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say this about angels. Angels are not. I'm talking about the anatomy and the ability of angels. Angels are not all-knowing. Angels are not all-knowing. They are not omniscient. They are not omnipresent. They are not omnipotent. They're not all-powerful. Friend, they're not God. Do you understand that here tonight? So angels are mighty in power. We'll go over that here in just a moment. But they are not all-powerful. There's only one Almighty, and that is the Almighty God. The angels only know what God will allow them to know. Read it from up top, but in Matthew 24, verse 36, Jesus Christ says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. He's talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ when he plants his foot down upon the Mount of Olives. So no one in all of eternity, from this way to that way, knows when that second coming is going to happen. Amen? And nobody knows it. The angels in heaven don't know it. And I grant you this, that even Jesus Christ, because he said to my Father only. See, Jesus Christ When the Lord says, go, when the Father says go, that's when Jesus Christ goes. So remember, He allowed Jesus Christ to come down here in the image of man. He allowed Him to come down a little lower than the angels, the Bible says. 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 12. And I think we have it up here as well. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. Unto whom it is revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things, watch this now, which things the angels desire to look into. Angels have a desire to look into things. Now, angels are more powerful. One angel is more powerful than every human being on the face of this planet. Okay? One angel. But there are some things that angels can't do and can't see that we can. You see, in 1 Peter 1:12 that we just read, I want you to circle in your Bible, circle these phrases, preach the gospel, okay? Circle Holy Ghost, and circle which things the angels desire to look into. If you say, preacher, I don't like writing my Bible, just make a note on a piece of paper, whatever it may be. I for one, like to write in my Bibles. I like to have those notes there and highlight them. It's strange preaching from the my birthday Bible here, which my birthday is not till next month, but because I don't have all the notes and markings down in it. But nevertheless, I want you to circle those things in your Bible. There's a reason why. Because it correlates with angels in the New Testament. It will correlate, the verses that we just read in 1 Peter 1:12, it correlates with what angels will do in the New Testament, which we're going to cover in the weeks to come. I'm not going to go over that tonight, and I'm going to go ahead and ask you, don't ask me about angels in the New Testament this evening during the Q&A, because we're going to spend some time on that in the weeks to come in this lesson. But I want you to circle that verse right there, 1 Peter 1:12, and in those particular phrases, it'll make more sense to you, and it'll help you in your understanding as we move on in this lesson. So I want to give you another thing about angels and the nature of angels. We know that angels are not all-knowing. They're not all-powerful. They are mighty and powerful. But angels do not die. Okay? I want you to understand this here. Angels do not die. When God created His being, He created all creation. He created it with the intent that it should not die. Adam and Eve were created with the intention that they should not die and that they should live eternally. All right? Now, when they took the forbidden fruit, that tree of knowledge of good and evil. It wasn't an apple. The Bible doesn't declare that. The blood of the grape it speaks of. The Bible says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And it's my opinion, according to the scriptures and cross references, that it was a vine tree. The Bible speaks of a vine tree. That fruit was a grape, and then he took of that grape, and therefore they took of that blood, and therefore that's what tainted the blood, because I don't think they needed blood prior to that. He created them in the image of God. Does Jesus Christ have blood in heaven today? No, He doesn't. He said that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Our flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Our blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But He said nothing of flesh and bone. There'll be a glorified body that we will receive. And actually, we're going to discuss that here in a minute, so I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. They took that forbidden fruit, and sin entered in. The Bible says that sin bringeth forth death, or sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Read Luke chapter 20 from above here, a few verses in that scripture. We want to talk about this, angels do not die. And I want to tell you a little bit about angels here and their makeup. We're going to get into a brief lesson here in a second concerning these angels that I think will help you out. Now, I'm going to go ahead and forewarn you. There is some controversy in the teaching, but not amongst the Word of God. Guys, you'll hear in this entire lesson one reference book. That is the AV 1611, the King James Bible. Amen. I don't need something else to teach you this here this evening. Neither do you. Luke 20, verse 34 says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, The children of the world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die anymore. They are equal unto the what? Angels. And are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection." Now, Christ was the first of the resurrection. To take a couple steps back to our Shout, Second Coming and 7 Years in Between series, Remember, you have this resurrection in divisions. You got Jesus Christ, the first fruit. Okay? He was the first fruit of many brethren. All right? So when you have the crop, the very first fruit that was taken in was to go to the temple, was to go to the priest, was to go to the house of God. Jesus Christ was the first fruit to arise from the dead. He was the firstborn amongst many brethren. And then you have in a crop, you have what's called the harvest. That is the rapture of the church. That is when the church is taken up. That is the massive harvest. After the first fruits, after the harvest, you have what's called the gleanings. The gleanings. The gleanings, prophetically speaking, are the tribulational saints. So those are those that will get in by losing their life and losing their life during the tribulation period, who had not per se an opportunity in the age of grace. Now, I went over this with you before, and I believe in all of my heart that there'll be in America, I doubt there'll be any Americans making it into the gleanings. I just doubt that. Maybe a few here or there, but I just doubt that because to whom much is given, much is required. Amen. Listen, a person has an opportunity in the United States of America today to be saved and born again like no one else in this entire world, beloved. I tell you, when you travel the world as much as I have and you see these people that are in bondage of Catholicism and bondage of Islam and bondage of Buddhism and bondage of Hinduism and bondage of all these pagan religions and all this and that. And these, listen, I'm telling you, America, it's a free nation to live in. We can take this old Bible here. We can step on any public property in America today. We can pass tracts out. We can preach till we're blue in the face. We can do that by according to the law of the land. We can do all things because it's free. There is very rarely any time that you're going to turn the TV on that you're not going to hear some preacher. There's going to be a time where you can't search the radio station that you're going to hear some preacher. And I understand. I know televangelists and I know the majority of them are false doctrines, but there's a lot of good preachers still on radio and TV today. Amen. There's churches that have radio ministries. We have a radio ministry. There's churches that have tracking ministry. We have a printing ministry here. There's churches that our sermons are online. And majority of churches today have all their sermons online. Guys, since the middle of January, and I checked the numbers, I believe, a couple days ago, since the middle of January up until last month or the other week, there's been 2,500 sermons physically downloaded from our website. 2,500. And that's just one. We are just one little old church in the hollow of Goodlettsville. There are millions of sermons out there online that people can have access, especially here in America. So I said all that really to say this. As far as the gleanings go, I have a high capacity of doubt as to whether or not very few Americans will make it in on the gleanings at the end of the tribulation period. Now, I'm not being dogmatic about that. That's my opinion, and I'm only giving you that this evening. So Christ was the first part of the resurrection. Of course, the Old Testament saints, we discussed that. They're in heaven tonight as well. But we only die in the flesh. Our spirit is preserved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That which is born of God does not die. That which was created, being those angels, we are as equal to the angels that we do not die. Look from up top here, 1 Corinthians 15. And you guys know the scriptures quite well. But 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, Bible says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." And that sleep means die. "But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall..." Listen, that twinkling of an eye, that's not a blink. I heard a preacher the other day on the radio says, "As quick as you can blink." Well, I can blink pretty slow. And it's going to be much quicker than that. Some physicists have measured that, the time that it takes for light to refract inside of the eye, the time that it takes for light to hit your eye and refract inside, is called a plantic of time, which is 0.1 to the 45th thousandth power, which is like 45 million whatever zeros behind a decimal and a one. That's how much time it takes. It's almost immeasurable, if you want to know the truth. That's how quick the rapture is going to happen. One day we'll be here, and I mean, before you can think, that's how quick it's going to come about. We'll be changed. So let's keep reading. For the corruptible, the Bible says, let's go back up. The trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible hath put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting, O grave? Where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Now, that corruptible that it's referring to, what is that? David said, thou shalt not suffer to see corruption. Corruption is the flesh. So your flesh tonight, that is corrupt. That's what that which is corruptible. This corruptible. So the corruptible there is referring to those that have already died, to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. Their soul has already gone to heaven. Okay? At the time of the rapture, they will come down. And they will receive that glorified body, and then we're going to meet them in the air, those that are still alive. So that's what it's talking about, this, when it says the corruptible must put on incorruption. Incorruption. That's the dead in Christ receiving their glorified body. This mortal must put on immortality. That is those that are still living when Christ comes back in the air, and we are converted to a glorified body. Now, I've seen the movies, and you have as well, and when the rapture, they depict the rapture happening, there's a pile of clothes and all of their belongings and their gold teeth and the jewelry and all that stuff. There's only one thing missing that the movies don't put in there, and that is your blood. Your blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ said, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's why your body is changed, that's why it's transformed, but your blood is staying here. So if the rapture was to happen right now, and every single one of us in here being saved and born again, if someone was to come to this church tomorrow and find out what's going on, there would be X amount of piles of clothes saturated in the blood of your body. Not one drop, not one little tit of blood that you have in your body right now will be able to enter into heaven. The mortal must put on immortality. We receive our glorified body and the blood lays here. Said all that just to prove the fact that we will be equal as the angels, which is the scriptural verse showing that angels do not die. If you're saved today and born again, and you're a child of God, you're the children of God, then you will be equal as the angels. And the Bible says, giving you the power thereof to become the sons of God, who we'll get into here in just a minute. Let me say this. Angels cannot reproduce other angels. All right? Now, we're going to get into an area here where some of you may believe different, and that's fine. But I believe if you study the Scriptures and you read them according to the way the Scriptures are written, not according to the way the pastor's teaching, not according to the way you've been taught by others, if you read it according to the Scripture is written, you'll agree with the Word of God today. Angels cannot reproduce other angels. Mark chapter 12, read it from up top. I'm keeping it easy for you. I'm going to have you turn to a multitude of verses here in a moment. Mark in chapter 12 and verse 25, for when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. Now, that's speaking of us. One of the questions says, will I be married to my husband when I get into heaven? The Bible tells us that we'll be known as we are known. I don't believe we're going to know one another in the nature of sin that we have today. I'll tell you that. We'll have the mind of Christ. We'll be known as we are known. But the bottom line is, no, you won't be married there, because this is the answer to the question that was given to Jesus Christ about whose wife will they be in the resurrection. And he says, for they shall rise from the dead. They neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. Angels do not marry. Give me one good reason why angels do not marry. Amen, Brother Pete. Somebody needs to tell the government that. Praise the Lord. Angels do not marry because they're all male. They're never female. Okay? I told you this last week. A pink elephant and another pink elephant doesn't make a blue elephant. It takes a pink elephant and a blue elephant to make another elephant. Amen? And they don't make them rainbow elephants. Amen, preacher. All right. So, this verse, it doesn't pertain to the ability of an angel to cohabitate with men and or women. It pertains to marriage. And there will be no marriage in heaven other than the marriage of the bride of Christ to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That'd be before then have the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're looking forward to that, praise God. People will not be given in marriage. Angels are not given in marriage, so they cannot reproduce other angels. Now, in this verse, people take this verse out of textual context. Remember, the context is the resurrection. The context is what we will be like when we get to heaven. We are not given in marriage, nor are we married. We are like the angels. So there's the establishment that in heaven, angels are not married. Okay? But people remove that textual context, thus removing also the textual context of Genesis chapter 6. And this is where people go wrong, denying that the sons of God as angels, but referring to them as the sons of Seth, which, forgive the term, I think, in my opinion, is plain stupidity. Okay? 1 + 1 = what? 2. Some of y'all stuttered on that now. 1 + 1 = 2. It never equals 3. 1 + 1 never equals 1. It equals 2. Always will and always has. Turn over to Genesis 6 with me real quick. Let's go over this. See, some people, this is where they hang their hat. They say, see here, the angels can't cohabitate with man or woman. So you can't have what you have in Genesis 6. You can't say that's what it is. And it's just incorrect. Genesis chapter 6. Tell you what, does everybody know what the KISS principle is? Keep it simple, right? Keep it simple. How many people in here tonight believe that God wants us to know everything that's in the Bible? What would He rather us do? Believe everything in the Bible. He's not interested in what you know. He's interested in what you believe. And if you begin to believe by faith His Word, He'll let you know more. But believe, amen, and by faith, act upon that which you already do know. And God will give you more down the way. Genesis chapter 6 and in verse 1, I want you to watch. Mark these in your Bible. Take notes and highlight and all this and that. And it came to pass, when the men began to multiply on the face of the earth, daughters were born unto them, that these sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all that they chose, The Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Now, I don't know how long, maybe a year ago or something, we preached a message concerning this time of Noah. It was a time of prosperity. It was a time of great design. It was a time of wonderful innovation. It was a time of progression, guys. It was a time when, lack of better terms, put it prophetically, it was a time when knowledge ran to and fro. I believe in those times that I believe they were a very progressive city. I don't believe they were running around in animal skins. I believe when God destroyed the earth with that water, He took away the technology and all the things that they had at that time. Now, I'm not sitting there saying they're flying around spaceships. Don't think I'm saying that. But I'm going to tell you this. There's some things that they built upon this earth that man can't even figure out today. These mighty men of renown, these giants, these Nephilims, if you will, that they built, these were half men, half spirit. They're half men, half angel, whatever you want to call it, but they are part of a grotesque and wicked establishment that these sons of God came and knew the daughters of men. Now, I want to establish this here. Job chapter 1, turn over there real quick. You know the verses, but let's just look at it for posterity's sake. How's that sound? Job in chapter 1. Now, I'm not going to ask you if you agree tonight, but you may be sitting here this evening and you may say, well, you're telling us there that those are angels that came into the daughters of men. Job chapter 1 and in verse 6, Job chapter 1 and verse 6, the Bible says, Now there was a day when these sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Now turn over there to Job chapter 2. Job chapter 2 and verse 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. Turn over to Job chapter 38. We looked at this last week. Let's read it again. Job chapter 38. Job in chapter 38. There may be some things that you're not willing to accept, but there's got to be some things that you need to be willing to believe. Job 38 and verse 7. Bible says here, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Now, guys, let's just keep it simple. No one argues the fact that in Job 1 and Job 2, those who presented themselves before God, no one argues the fact that those were angels. Now, when God is questioning Job here, where were you when the foundations were laid? When the morning stars and all the sons of God sang together, no one questions the fact that they, too, are angels. But people question the fact of the Genesis 6 account that they are angels. Now, I'm going to say this. Job 1 and Job 2 more than likely were fallen angels given an account unto God. But we really don't know that. We know this, that they are angels. Okay? Now, I'm going to lean toward the fact that they were fallen angels coming and presenting themselves before the Lord. Okay? Now let me say this. Those are the angels that Satan deceived and took with him when he fell that we discussed last week. When Satan fell, when Lucifer fell, he took a multitude of heavenly beings with him. And the ones that if those are fallen angels that presented themselves before the Lord in Job 1 and 2, if it are fallen angels, they are the ones that came with Satan or Lucifer in the beginning, in the very first time when he fell. I'll tell you who they are not. They are not the Genesis 6 angels. Genesis 6 angels are angels, but those angels don't present themselves in Job 1 and 2. And I'm going to show you why. You're going to find out in this study, angels are very, very, very powerful. They're more powerful, they're more mighty than you and I could ever imagine. But I'm going to tell you this, they are still limited. I'm telling you that this verse, there is nothing that supports in the verse that we read up there in the book of Mark, from up top, I think it's still up there. Yeah, Mark 12. There is nothing there that supports anything to do with Genesis chapter 6, that denies that. Genesis 6, sons of God, are exactly who the Bible supports them to be. They are angels. They are angels, and here's what I want you to understand. Those are the angels that left their first estate. Why is that important? Read this, Jude verse 6. You don't even have to turn there. You can read it from up top and you can write it down. The Bible says, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, hath he reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day." Who are these? These are the angels separate from those that fell with Lucifer. These are not the angels that fell with Lucifer. For the angels that fell with Lucifer today are still walking around, working for Satan, working for him. You say, wait a second, didn't they leave their first estate? No. Lucifer was given dominion over the first and second heavens. Who was he over? He was over the sons of God. He was the anointed cherub that covereth. Okay? So anything that dwelt in the first and second heaven, Lucifer was given dominion over. Now, God is ultimately the ultimate power. Lucifer said his five I wills, and his fifth one said, "I will be like the Most High." That is what cast him out. He was cast down to the ground, cast out of heaven. Adam was given dominion over the earth. He lost that dominion by transgression. So these angels that fell with Lucifer, these ones that hell, the lake of fire, was created for the devil and his angels, they are still actively working with him today. These angels are reserved unto a day of judgment, and they are bound in chains somewhere. Now, they were prepared for a job from the foundation of the world. Someone asked the question, did Lucifer lose his dominion when he fell? I said, no. Remember when he tempted the Lord Jesus Christ? All of these kings, one moment of time, he showed him every kingdom that mankind would ever have. Every one of them. From start to finish. 6,000 years of earthly kingdoms. Lucifer showed Jesus Christ. He said, I'll give them all to you if you bow to me. Christ said, no. Do you know why Lucifer was able to make that offer? Because he had the ability to give them. To whom he gives them, he can give them to whoever he wants to. Because they're his. You understand? Jesus Christ has another kingdom coming. And when he sets his kingdom up here upon the face of the earth, the sin curse is removed. Amen. And for 1,000 years, we'll rule and reign with Jesus Christ right here. The regeneration will occur. Amen. Bible only speaks the word regeneration in the Bible 2 times. Once refers to our regeneration, the other refers to the regenerated world. Well, that's a blessing right there. But these angels here in Jude 6 were prepared for a duty. From the beginning, despite their failure to give God glory for 6,000 years, there is a duty and a job that they will still perform. Not a message, but still a duty that they will perform because God created them to fulfill it, and they're going to do it whether it hair lifts the Pope. Amen. Turn your Bible to Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9, and I want to show you here these angels from Jude 6 who left their first estate. What is the primary purpose of angels in heaven? In heaven, I know we've talked about it last, the definition of an angel is an appearance, not a messenger. What is their primary purpose? Do what God tells them to do. We talked about that, didn't we, last week. Their primary goal, their first estate was to do what? Bring God glory. To sing glory unto His name. To glorify the God of all the universe. And yet they left that first estate when they took the daughters of men as wives. And they those women, the Bible says, they, speaking of the daughters of men, bare children to them. Revelation 9 and in verse 13. Revelation 9 verse 13, the Bible says, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouth. The angels that are yet bound in the underneath the river Euphrates today, they were prepared in one day by God, created, and prepared for 1 hour and one task and one job. And they're still going to do it no matter what they did way back then in Genesis chapter 6. See, those are different than the angels because the angels that fell with Lucifer, they're still happily walking around. There's enough scriptural support to show that. But the angels that left their first estate in Genesis chapter 6, they're bound today because of what they did in the cohabitating with the daughters of men and this half mixed wicked abomination was created. These giants, these men of renown, these mighty men was on this earth. You say, well, preacher, I've never heard that. But that's right there. Just read that and believe that. Because that's what it is. You say, well, preacher, why do they still get to do their job? Because God's going to have them do it. Lucifer, who hates God, hates everything about Him, who despises Him, who wants to destroy you and your family and your home and your church and your workplace and your life just because you name the name of Christ, And by the way, for everybody that's lost in this world today, He wants to do the same thing for them because they're a creation of God. So He hates them just as equally as He hates you. Amen. He wants to do all those things, and He does hate God, but He's still going to bow and give God glory. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. And when it says every, I believe everyone. I believe every animal. Everything that God has created, I believe, will bend that knee and will confess with their mouth that God is the Lord. Every means every, and that's all there is. Amen. So, having said all that tonight, I'm going to close it right here. We understand about the sons of God. We may tap into that just a little bit later on. But don't confuse yourself. If we are clear that Job 1 and 2 and 38, sons of God are angels, why should it be any different? And I understand the lineage, they say, of Seth and coming down from Adam, being the first son of God, and Jesus Christ we know is the Son of God. That's why John 3:16 in your perversions is wrong. It says the one and only Son of God. He wasn't the one and only Son of God because Adam was the first son. Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, and that is important because it establishes the virgin birth. Amen. And so anyway, now I'm going to stop there. I'm going to close here this evening on this part.
This concludes this message. For more information on messages available through the Faithful Witness Outreach, visit New Testament Baptist Church online at www.ntbctn.com. Or for immediate assistance, call New Testament Baptist Church at 615-851-0970. If you are in the Nashville, Tennessee area, please feel free to join us at any of our church times. New Testament Baptist Church is located at 2320 Baker Station Road, Goodlettsville, Tennessee, 37072.